Today we're going to talk about a character quality that brings peace, harmony, and joy to your relationships with people and with God. I'm talking about the character quality of humility. So would you please open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 and stand with me in honor of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptying himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would feed you from this passage? Just you and the Lord. Just pray that God would feed you from this passage. Take a few moments and pray for the other people in this room, that God would feed them from this passage. Now please take a few minutes and pray for me, that by the power of the Holy Spirit I would accurately preach and teach what the Apostle Paul intended to be understood through this beautiful passage. I cannot preach my own words, my own opinions, my own ideas. I am an ambassador this morning. My job simply is to represent Paul and to accurately tell you what he wants to say. So please pray for me today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let's go back up to verse 1. Philippians 2. 1. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. My question to you this morning, and Paul's question to you this morning, is, do you receive any encouragement from Christ? Do you receive any encouragement from being united with Christ? Is there any comfort from Christ? Any instruction from Christ? Any build-up? Any edification? Any encouragement? Any benefit? Do you receive fellowship with God and with one another through Christ? Is that the case? If that is the case, and it is the case, we know that we receive encouragement and consolation and fellowship and affection and compassion. We are brought into fellowship with God and with each other because of Christ. Praise His holy name. If that is true, then Paul says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Paul says, be united. And what I want to offer to you this morning is there is a character quality that is necessary for unity. There is a character quality that is absolutely necessary for your relationship with God, first of all. But there is the same character quality is necessary for our relationships with one another. And that character quality is humility. Please keep a bookmark in our passage today. We will never leave this passage. This is our passage today. Keep a bookmark there and come with me to Luke chapter 18. We want to ask the question, what does humility with God look like? What does humility with God look like? And we get a perfect picture in Luke 18, verse 9. Luke 18, 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Look at that again. This is why he is giving us this parable. This is the purpose. He told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Now, in response to that, he tells this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. This is someone who trusts in themselves that they are righteous. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Brothers and sisters of Trinity Baptist Church, that should be the attitude of every single one of us in this room. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. And here is a phrase that Jesus says over and over and over again. He repeats this phrase throughout his teachings. It's extremely important. And he says this: for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Very, very important. Humble is the Greek word tapeno, or tapeno. Should be on the screen. It is tapenao. Don't worry about the pronunciation. Just trust me. It means to make low or to bring low. Jesus says, if you humble yourself to make low, to bring low, you will be exalted. I've got a definition for you. Number one in your notes. Humility is an attitude of dependence on and submission to God. The humble person comes to God knowing that they are unwilling and undeserving of being his child. Dependence on and submission to God, both are important. Let's learn a little more about humility. Jesus uses the same phrase, he who exalts himself will be humbled, he who humbles himself will be exalted. Uses the same phrase several times in the Gospels. Let's look at one more. Please turn to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Verse 1, Matthew 23, 1. Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them." Jesus says, obey their teaching, but don't follow their example. Verse 4. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. They broaden their phylacteries, lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever humbles himself, whoever exalts himself will be humbled. And whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus says the Pharisees do everything to be noticed by people. He says something interesting. He says they broaden their phylacteries. RG, do you have that picture? No picture. Broaden their phylacteries. If you've ever seen on the internet where a Jewish person will have a box on their head, or they'll have a box on their wrist, I challenge you to Google it or do a search on the internet. Just go to Google Images would be an example and type in phylacteries, and you're going to see a Jewish man with a box on his head or a box on his wrist. Or bands on the arm. And what the Pharisees would do is they would show off with those boxes. They'd make them bigger or more showy. Look at me. Look at how spiritual I am. They would lengthen, Jesus says, they would lengthen the tassels on their garments. They're trying to be showy. They love the place of honor. They love being called rabbi. But that's not humility, is it? Number two in your notes, humility serves Christ in secret, forsaking the need for notice or praise by anyone other than God. This is a very important aspect of humility. Humility serves Christ in secret, forsaking the need for notice or praise by anyone other than God. The truly humble person will dedicate their life to Christian service and does not care if anyone ever knows. What does humility look like in our relationships with others? We've talked about our humility in our relationship with God. What does it look like in our relationships with others? Look at verse 3 in our passage today. Go back to Philippians. Our main passage is Philippians chapter 3. So come back with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we want to answer the question, what does humility look like in our relationship with others? Philippians 2, 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Verses 3 and 4 really capture what it means to be humble. Number 3 in your notes, do nothing from selfishness. Do nothing from selfishness. Let's talk about selfishness. The Greek word is eretheia. It's behind me on the screen. And it means electioneering or campaigning for office. So you are putting yourself forward. It is the selfish pursuit of what you want, even to the point of trying to win others to your side. Eretheia is the selfish pursuit of what you want, even to the point of trying to win others to your side. So a worst case scenario would be in a church setting where someone wants something, someone's not getting their selfish way, so they are going to talk and talk and talk and try and win everybody to their side and cause division. That is eretheia. What does the Lord Jesus say? What does the Apostle James say about that? Look at James chapter 3. It's behind me on the screen. You can keep your Bible in Philippians 2. Just look along. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, eretheia, in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition, eretheia, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Number 4, we're talking about what does it look like to be humble with your relationships with one another. Number 4, do nothing from empty conceit. Empty conceit. Greek word is kenodoxia. Kenodoxia, it means vain glory or empty glory. A very simple Greek word. There's two parts, doxa meaning glory and kenos meaning vain or empty. So we get empty pride or vain glory. Galatians 5 uses this word. Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Isn't that great advice? We live by the Spirit. We're born spiritually dead. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, the Holy Spirit regenerates you and gives you spiritual life. You are born again. So we live by the Spirit. That is true. If we live by the Spirit, let us then walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. Boastful would be the idea of this vain glory or empty praise that we see in Philippians 2:3. How else do we live in humility with one another? We've talked about humility with God. How about humility with one another? It's all there in Philippians 2:3. Number 5 in your notes, consider others more important than yourself. Consider others more important than yourself. Greek word more important. It's one word, hooper echo. It means to hold above or over. To hold above or over. Another compound word, echo is to have, and hooper is above, more than, beyond, or over. So it means to hold over or above. It's really interesting. One chapter later, the Apostle Paul uses the same Greek word in one of the most beautiful verses you will ever read. It's the Greek word more important, Philippians 3:8. Behind me on the screen. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value, Hooper Echo, the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count that but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Paul takes all of his religious accomplishments, all of his religious credentials. I'm a Pharisee, a Benjaminite, all of these things. And he says, I throw all that away compared to the surpassing value of Christ. Christ is more important. And using this same exact Greek word in Philippians 2:3, he says humility is taking others, the other people in the church, and saying they are more important. That's what it means. Remember, humility, tapiao, means to make me low. In humility of mind, I make myself low. And I exalt others. That's humility. Being humble toward other people means I lower myself and exalt them. I serve them. I love them. I build them up. It's about them. Humility with God means I lower myself and exalt Him. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility with mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. And he repeats it in verse 4, or says it a little different way, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. There's an incredible passage about humility, especially as it relates to our relationship with God and our relationship with each others, in James chapter 4. Please turn there with me. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? This is very important for all of us to know, because all of us have quarrels and conflicts. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. You adulteresses. How are we adulteresses? How can the Apostle James call us that? Look at verse 4. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which he has made to dwell in us. But he gives a greater grace. Why? Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What should we do then? Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. And what will he do? He will exalt you. He will exalt you. Brothers and sisters, have you become a friend of the world? Have you become a friend of the world? The apostle says friendship with the world is hostility toward God. Do you love the world? Do you love the things in the world? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The Apostle John reminds us of this in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. So what does James tell us to do? What is the response? What is the obedient response to this passage? In verse 7, he says, submit to God. You see, God is opposed to the proud, but Trinity Baptist Church, God gives grace to the humble. Praise his holy name. So in your notes, I ask you the question, how do you humble yourselves before the Lord? And it's very simple. It's in verse 7, number 6 in your notes, submit to God. Submit to God. And I want you to see how this all ties together into one concept. It all ties together in one concept. And sometimes people will say, why do we look at the Greek? Why do we look at the Greek? We don't speak Greek, we speak English. Why do we look at the Greek? This is why. I want you to see this. The English word humble and the English word submit, if you don't look at the Greek, you don't see how it's the same concept. Look at the word. The word submit is hupertasso. Hupertasso, another compound word. Tasso means to place in a certain order, to arrange, to assign a place or to appoint. And huper means by or under. So submit or hupertasso means to arrange under or to subordinate. You see how they tie together? To humble yourself means to make low in relation to who? Everyone. In relation to God. If I want to humble myself, I lower myself and exalt him. If I want to humble myself before others, I lower myself and consider them more important. To submit is to arrange or subordinate myself under God. It's the same concept. Humility is very important in our relationships with God, in our relationships with one another. And I want to just give you, I want to give you just a practical tip on humility. How can we maintain humility at this church with one another? And the practical tip is number 7. It is remember who you were and where you came from. Remember who you were and where you came from. This week, I was invited to a pastor's lunch. It's not the same pastor's lunch that I've been going to for years and years. It's a completely separate group. I got an invitation from the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert. I got it in the mail. It wasn't an email. It wasn't a text. It was just good old-fashioned piece of paper with a stamp on it. I looked and I said, "What is this?" But it was an invitation to a pastor's lunch. And it was from Pastor Joe from Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert. And he just said, "Hey, I got this burden in my heart. I think we should be fellowshipping with each other. We need each other. We need to love each other. We're all on the same team. Come to my church. I'll serve you lunch." I showed up. There's about 8 other guys there. It was a great time. But I had a very powerful experience on the way as I was driving. It's in Palm Desert, way out that way. It took me about 20 minutes to get there. And as I was driving to this pastor's lunch, I was fighting back the tears because David Gordon is a pastor. My brothers and sisters, David Gordon is selfish. David Gordon is self-centered. David Gordon is prideful. David Gordon struggles with sin week after week after week after week, day after day. My sinful flesh exalts me and I fall short of God's glory all the time. I don't deserve to be a pastor. I don't even deserve to be sitting next to you. That is the absolute, pure, and total truth. And as I was driving to this pastor's lunch, I was in tears. Because without Christ, I'd be in prison. But not only do I get to be his child, which I do not deserve. Not only do I get to be a member of Trinity, which I do not deserve. Not only do I get to be in leadership, which I do not deserve, but I am the pastor. And I have the privilege of I was overcome with it as I was driving to a pastor's lunch, that I have the honor and privilege of having lunch with these men who are most likely more godly than me. I remembered for a few moments who I used to be and where I came from. And I think that is key to humility. You're here at Trinity Baptist Church. And when we lose our perspective is when we say, "I've been here for years and years and years. I tithe every week. I've done this. I've done this. I've done this. I've done that. I'm important." And when you talk to the other members, or when you're in a meeting, when you're in an elders meeting, or when you're in a deacon meeting, or even when you're just talking out on the curb or in one of the rooms somewhere, you're having a discussion with other people and you begin to think, "You know what? I've been here for a while. I'm a deacon. I'm an elder. I tithe all the time. I've volunteered here and I've volunteered here and I've volunteered here." And you begin to think that you're something. And the key, not the key, but a key to humility, is every single time you come to this church on Sunday or Monday or Wednesday or Thursday or anything at all, you walk in here and you say, "I don't deserve to even be here." It's only because of Christ that I get to park my car and walk into this building. If you're an elder, go to the elders' meeting and say, I can't believe that I get to talk with these other godly men. If you're a deacon, come into the deacons' meeting and say, I can't believe that I'm a deacon. I'm so sinful every day, but I get to be a deacon. And if you're a member, come into this building on Sunday morning and say, I remember who I used to be, and I remember where I came from, and I can't believe that in spite of the fact that I continue to sin every single day, I'm a child of God. What does humility look like? Jesus says, if you humble yourself, you will be exalted. What does that look like? The greatest example that will never, ever, ever be topped starts in verse 5 of your passage. Take a look. Philippians 2, 5. Have this attitude. What attitude? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason, what did God do, Trinity? What was God's response? For this reason, God exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Gracious Heavenly Father, forgive us for exalting ourselves. Forgive us for thinking we are anything. And help us to exalt you and to exalt each other. And thank you for taking a sinful, fearful, faithless, selfish, arrogant, person and making me an example of the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.